Okay, so my topic is kfiya on mitzvah tzedakah, coercing somebody to give tzedakah. But before I get to the discussion of kfiya, I want to give a bit of a hakdama to some other inyanei tzedakah that are going to shed light on the main yisod that will develop at the very end. So the first thing I want to discuss is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav Mid Aleph. Based off the pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chaf Gimel, Torah says, "Motzei sifasecha tishmor v'asisak asher nadart l'Hashem l'kecha nedava, asher dibarta b'ficha." So the Gemara darshins in Rosh Hashanah b'ficha zut tzedaka. That tzedaka is something that can be done b'ficha, and it seems like some Rishonim, based off this, argue that tzedaka can be chal b'amira ba'alma. And the analogy that the Rishonim bring is to amirasa l'gvoa k'misirasa l'hedyot. That even though typically you need a ma'isa kinyan to transfer title, when it comes to tzedakah, you don't need a ma'isa kinyan. It's chal ba'amir ba'alma. So look, for example, in the third source on page one, we have the Baal Amor in Bava Kama. So he quotes Rav Haigon, with the shilton, amirasa l'gvoa k'misirasa l'hedyot ketzad, shor zeh hektesh ba'is zeh hektesh v'chulei, hu adin la'aniyim dekani ba'amira, kegon sh'amar ba'is la'aniyim o'chefet zeh la'aniyim. So, and you see the Ran in Maseches Nedarim and Daf Chavtes has a very similar lashon, according to Rashba. V'af Rashba yechochich b'dino lomar de'ein ze ela b'makdish bilvad, mishum dehektish chal b'kdushas peh, v'amir b'lechod, v'hu adin lomar yehei karka ze la'aniyim. So, you can see the Ritva also in Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav Med Aleph has this quote, v'ein lecha davar shem ischayv lehedjot b'amir ela tzedaka. So the Shaila I wanted to ask, to begin with, is for Hektish, a lot of that Achronim based this idea off Hashem Aretz Umeloa. That you don't need a Ma'isa Kinyan because Ribbono Shel Olam already has some sort of stake in the Chepetz. All you have to do is be Mesalik your own Bailos. But what's the justification for Tztaka that we would say Amiraso Ligvoa Amiraso Litztaka Kimisiraso Lehejo? Why wouldn't you need a Ma'isa Kinyan to effect the transfer? Because that's the first question I want to pose, and we'll come back to it later. The second question I want to pose is raised by brought to everyone's attention by the Ktsos and Simon Reish Tzadi. And that is machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Rama in the case of where someone is noder litztaka, and before the person has the chance to make good on his gift to tztaka, he passes away. Right? Noder litztaka omeis. So in this particular case, the Yarshim didn't want to be mekayim their father's neder. And the shaila was whether they're mechayiv too. They sent the shaila to the Beis Yosef. He paskind that the Yarshim indeed are chayiv to make good on their father's neder litzdaka. The Rama, in his tshuva and Simon Memches, disagrees. He says, how could that be? It's a mefursha halacha and nedarim that no derumeis ein hayarshim chayavim lekayim nidra. Right? The promise dies with the promiser. So the same thing should hold for tzedaka. The father made a promise to tzedaka, and his promise should die along with him. So the shaila is, what's the pshat in the Beis Yosef? Why does the Beis Yosef seem to hold that in the case of noder litztaka umeis, that the yarshim are chayev to be mekayim nidro, but in general the halacha is that noder umeis, the yarshim are not chayev to be mekayim the neder. Rebalski, you have a question?
No.
Okay. So those are the first two questions. Why do you not need a kinyan for tzedaka? Lefi those rishonim who hold that way. And secondly, what's the pshat in the Beis Yosef that noder litztaka, the umeis, the yarshim are chayv l'kayim nidro? Now, obviously, if the Beis Yosef holds like the Rishonim who think that tzedaka is chal ba'amira, we would answer the Rama's kasha. But here, the question is really on the assumption that the Beis Yosef is not assuming like those Rishonim who hold that tzedaka is chal ba'amira ba'alma. Why are the yarshim chayv l'kayim nidro?
Why are we assuming Beis Yosef is not holding
that? What? So there's Lashonos in the Beis Yosef that sounds like he's not arguing mitam amiraso litztaka kemisiraso lehedyo. And also the Ktsos doesn't think he holds that way. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Shimon Shkup thinks that's the pshat in the Beis Yosef, but the Ktsos is not giving that answer for Beis Yosef. So he clearly is not assuming that. He's not imposing that on him. Okay, the third kasha I want to raise comes from the kasha that all the Rishonim about Basar Daf Chesem et Aleph. This is towards the bottom of page 2. The Gemara there implies that the Beis Din can be kofe on mitzvah tzedakah. This comes from the story that the Gemara has. Ki hadi Rava achve l'Rav Nosson bar Ami v'shakam mini arba mea zuzi l'tzedakah. Rava thought that Rav Nosson bar Ami wasn't giving his fair share to tzedakah, so he was kofe him to give arba me'azuzi. But all the Rishonim asked, tzedakah is a mitzvah ase shematan schar b'tzeda. The Gemara in Chulin says that bezin shalmata doesn't have jurisdiction to be kofe on a mitzvah ase shematan schar b'tzeda. So how could the Gemara in Bava Basra assume that the bezin or rava has the jurisdiction to be kofe on this mitzvah ase? That's the kash that Tosos and all the Rishonim deal with in Bava Basra Davches. So you know, there are different approaches to this question. I'll just give a few examples. So the Marik in Achuva and Simen Kuf Memches quotes some of the Balei Tosos, that's Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that they think that tzedakah is not really a mitzvah seishem matan scharim b'tzeda, because the Torah says biglal hadavar hazeh yivrechcha Hashem Elokecha b'chol maasecha b'chol mishlach yedecha. So he thinks that's too vague to constitute a matan scharan b'tzeda, because the case from the Gemara in Chulin Kibud Aveim is arichas yamim. So you can see here in the middle of page 3, there's the one line in the Marik, where he says, "V'gam Rabbeinu Eliyahu appears to lo mikri matan scharim b'tzeda, kivin delo ksid be'arichas yamim." Right, you need a real declaration of arichas yamim for it to be matan scharim b'tzeda, and biglal adavar hazeh yivrecha Hashem Elokecha doesn't really qualify as matan scharim b'tzeda. Tosin Ksuvis and Daf Mem Tesmim Beis has two answers to explain how the bezin can be kofeh. One is that the kfiyah is only bedvarim, so they persuaded him verbally. And the second answer is that maybe it's a case of katzvu b'nehem b'nei ha'ir. Right? Maybe it's a case where the community, by statute, agreed to give tzedakah. Then once the community enacts that statute, then they have the koach to be kofeh. But on the merits of the mitzvah seh of tzedakah alone, the bezdin cannot be kofeh.
Right?
So good. So Tosos in Bava Basra and Daf Ches Amud Aleph, you can look here on page 4. So Tosos here in Daf, second source on page 4. Tosos says that this is after the three dots. Second source after the three dots. Tosos says Lori Nira Divitstaka Kofin Mishum De Is Be Lav. Dechsid Be Losa Ametas Lavavcha Velos Sikvots. So the kfiyah for tzedakah is not on the mitzaseh. It's really on the lav shibo. Now the Achronim point out that if this is really true, then it would really restrict the class of cases that would justify kfiyah on tzedakah. And here they point out, so the Rambam in Hilchos Manos Aniyim in Perek Zayin is clear to distinguish between the mitzvah seh and the lav of tzedakah. In the bottom of page 4, the Rambam in Halacha Aleph says, mitzvah seh litein tzedakah la'aniyim kfi ma sheroi la'ani, and v'haysa yad anosin ma'segeh, shenar pasoach tiftach es yad chalo, and v'hechzakta bo. So those psukim refer to the assay. But the lav is a completely different principle. This is what the Rambam quotes in Halacha Beis. V'chol ha'ra'a ani mevakesh v'helim eina mimenu, below nasan lo tzedakah, over below saseh. Shnemar lo sa'amet ha'savavcha v'lo sikpas ha'syotcha me'chicha ha'evyon. And the Mari Korkis points out, you can see on the very top of page 5, that the lav means that you only violate the lav if you're actually ma'alim einayim from the ani. If the ani puts his hand out to you and you see him and you try to avert your gaze, then you violate the lav. So only in those cases would the bezin be able to be kofe you to give tzedakah. Okay? So if Tosus is right that the kfiyah is only on the lav, and the Rambam is right that the lav is only in cases of malam einav, then it would follow that the kfiyah is only on cases of malam einav. So just to bring out this shita more vividly, Shmuel Rozovsky in his Chidushim on Bava Basra has a very nice pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam implies that bezin could only be yored l'nechasav of a person for mitzvah tzedakah b'fanav, if he's present. Right, the recalcitrant person doesn't want to give tzedakahs in front of you, then the bezin can be yored l'nechasav. That's the mashmos of the Rambam. So you can look here in Perek Zayin Halacha Yud, the second source or the first new source on page 5. Misha ena rotz alitin tzedakah o sheitin matan masha royilo. Bezin kofinoso makinoso makas mardos achi itin masham du litain. The yordin linachasa bifanov. The lokhin mimenu masharoi lo litain. So we'll see there's a big divan. Why dafka bifanov? So Rav Shmuel has a very nice answer. He says, according to the idea of Tosos, that the kfiyah is only on the lav, and the lav is only when you try to avoid the ani. So it's only when the shliach, the gabai, who's the shliach of the aniim, comes before the person and says, oh, please give to tzedakah. And then the guy, the person tries to avoid the gabai, then he's violating the law of los ametas levavcha. So under those conditions, when he's there in front of you and avoiding you, then you could be yored l'nechasav. But in the case where the person is not around at all, So he's not violating Los Amitas Levav because he's not here to avert your gaze. So under those circumstances, you can't be Gova Mina Chasav. That's a very sharp shot from Rishmuel Rozovsky. Okay? So if you take a step back for a second, you'll notice there's a huge range in the Rishonim. There's a big fundamental machlokas Rishonim whether you could be Kofa on Staka. According to the first answer in Tosfos, that the Kfiya is only Bidvarim, or that it's a case of Rashayim B'nei Ha'ir Lasi Al Kitzasan, it turns out that there's no, Bezdin doesn't have the jurisdiction to be Kofa on Staka at all. Right? But according to the, at least the Shita of the Tosfos in Bava Basra, that you could be Kofa on the Lav, then at least there are certain cases which would justify Kfiya for Staka. When he's violating, at least when he's violating the law. So I want to take a look for a few moments at the different shitas in the Rishonim about what's going to happen in a case where the person doesn't want to give tzedakah. Does the Bezin have the right to go straight to his assets and collect on his behalf? So this is a huge machlokas Rishonim. So in the middle of page 5, we have the sheet of the Baal Amor and Bava Kama and Daf Yud Chasam Beis. Baal Amor is of the opinion that the kfiya can only be on the person who's recalcitrant. The Bezin never has the reshus to go straight to his assets. So here the Baal Amor says, "My damin and hasan shem mashkin al akupa afil bar of Shabbos." That's part of the Gemara and Daf Chasam Bava Basra. "V'chein my damin and achi rabbel rab nasan bar ami v'afik mine arba me azuzi letztaka." Isu Yehusha aso v'kafo ach amar rotzani, aval litam imenu bal karcho b'delo amar rotzani ein ol bezin lasos kein. So the kfiya is begavra, and the gavra has to consent at the end and say rotzani, and only under those conditions can bezin be kofer for tzedaka. The Rashba has a similar view. In Ksuvis Mem Tesem Beis, he says you could be kofer for tzedaka, miu lo nachtin lan l'nechasei. And the same thing, you can't collect staka. So the cases of kfiya on staka are only cases of kfiya bigavra, to force him to perform the mitzvah. But according to the Baal Amor and the Rashba, you can't be yored l'nechasa. And it seems somewhat intuitive, because the kfiya, the coercion, would be to perform the mitzvah saseh. And if Begarva, he doesn't want to perform the mitzvah saseh, the Bezin shouldn't have the right to circumvent him and go straight to his assets. So we'll get to that in a second. The Rambam clearly disagrees. The Rambam we saw a second ago. The Rambam held that at least befanav, you could be yored l'nechasav. Right, so look here on the top of page 6, here the Rambam again. Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Perek Zayin Halacha Yud. Let's read the Lashon carefully. Person doesn't want to give his fair share to tztaka. Bezin kofenoso makenoso makas mardus achi itin masham duhulitain. V'yardin l'nechasav bifanav. V'lokchen mimenu masha roi lo litain. So the Rambam here says that you're yored l'nechasav bifanav. So it's clearly more permissible than the Baal Amor and the Rashba, who hold that you're not yored l'nechasav at all. The Rambam at least holds bifanav or yored l'nechasav. The shaila is bifanav for the Rambam dafka or lav dafka? So here it's a huge machlokas amongst the poskim. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam verbatim in Hilchos Tzedakah and Yoredin, Simon Reish Mem Ches. The Bach has a big chiddush, and he reads the Rambam as saying that we're kofin b'shotin v'yardin l'nechaz afilu bifanav. V'ein mamtinin ad sheyitein hu ba'atzmo. Meaning, of course, you could be yored l'nechaz of shalom bifanav when he's not there. So if he's on a vacation or he's on a business trip elsewhere, of course the Bezin could go straight to his assets to collect staka. The Chiddush is that even when he's standing right here and there's the possibility that he'll give on his own, even then the Bezin has the right to circumvent him and collect straight from his assets. Right? That's the Chiddush of Yordan l'nechasav af b'fanav. That's how the Bach in Yerdei Simon Reish Mem Ches reads this Rambam. The Ktzos disagrees. The Ktzos, in the beginning of Simon Reish Tzadi Sifkatan Gimel, the Ktzos says that the right of Bezin to be Gova is only Bifanav. So what would the justification for that be? Right? Why would, and this is the Ktzos' kash, he says, look here in the bottom of page 6, Ikal Medak, Mimanav Shach, Im Tzedakah Hu B'Toras Chov, V'Shayach B'Shibud Nechasi, Im Kein Shalom Bifanav Nami. Right? If there's a real lien on the assets, then even Shalom Bifanav, the Bezin should be able to collect from him. It's just a personal obligation, a chovas agavra, then why is the bezin able to collect from him even bifanav? Right? It should always, the kfiya should always have to work through the person himself, like the Balamor and the Rashba thought. So the Ktos says, I don't understand. Either there's a lien on his assets, and then he should be able to collect shalom bifanav, or it's just a personal chovas agavra, in which case, bifanav, you shouldn't be allowed to go to his assets. So the Ktos answer is based off the Ramban that Blavatsky mentioned, the Ramban in Babasra Kuf Ayin Hei, that no, there are certain times that a person's assets are considered to be an extension of his person. Right? And just like you could coerce his person, sometimes his assets are considered to be an extension of his person. But it's not always true that a person's assets are an extension of the person. It's only the case when it's bifanav. When he's standing in front of you, we have a principle of ad sha'ata kofeyo bigufo, kofeyo bimamono. Right? What's the difference if you're coercing his person? Or since you could coerce his person, just go straight to his assets. Because the assets are an extension of him. But it sounds like you need the person present, otherwise you don't have the logical argument of acha'ata kofehu bigufo kofehu bimamono. So look at the underlined section in the Ktzos, and this is based off the Ramban of Basra, bottom of page 6. Mishum hachi shalo bifanav delese bidin kfiya, when he's not here and we can't coerce him in his person, kivan delese kaman leislan lemechas lenechase, since he's not here, we can't go straight to his assets. Okay, and the justification is this general principle of the Ramban. The Ritva has a nice version of this principle as well in Baba Basra. Kofen al mitzvah se b'shotim achtetze nafsho svarahu. It's logical principle. Dekafye bikan leirid l'nechasim, that when you could coerce him in his person, you could also coerce his assets. Da'ad sha'ata kofeya b'gufo kofeya b'mamono. Right, in the same way that you could coerce his person, you could go straight, you could coerce his assets. And the idea seems to be that the assets are the extension of his person. Okay. So just to summarize this section, we really have a range of three shitos here. We have the Balamor and the Rashba who thought that you could only coerce his person. Begavra, Achiyom Arotzani. We have the Pashas in the Rambam who says it could be Yorid L'Nechasa Bifanov, but not Shalob Bifanov. And then we have the Shita of the Bach who thinks that you could be Yorid L'Nechasa even Shalob Bifanov. Okay? Those are the three Shitas that we have on the assumption that Kfiya works. And we saw Tosos who reject, Tosin Babasa rejected this assumption that Kfiya works. Right? All you could have maybe is Kfiya Bidvarim or Rashaim B'nei Ha'ir Lasi Al Kitzasan, but you can't have Kfiya for Mitzvah Tzedakah on its own merits. On the assumption that kfiya for tzedakah works, you have three different shitos here in the Rishon. So the question is, what's the justification for the Bach's reading of the Rambam that you would have the right to be yored l'nechasav even shelo b'fanav? Is that because he agrees with the Ktzos's extension of the Ramban that coercion of a person's assets is an extension of the coercion of the person? But he disagrees and thinks that you could be kofeh b'mamono even shelo b'fanav. And the Ktzos said he agreed with the Ramban that the assets are an extension of the person, but he said that's only when it's b'fanav. Maybe the Bach agrees, but he just holds that the assets are an extension of the person even when he's not here, even shelo b'fanav. And you don't need to fit the actual rubric of, oh, only when you could coerce his person, then you could coerce his assets. It's like, you know, he's like a large person who is both a physical person and a, I guess he's a live person and a non-live person, right, in his property. And when his live person is away, so you go to his non-live person and his assets. Is that what the Bach holds? Or does the Bach think that we're dealing with a different principle altogether? Right, we're not dealing with kfiya, an extension of kfiya begavra, but we have some new principle of kfiya b'nechasav directly, where you could circumvent the personal obligation and go straight to a person's assets. Okay, is that clear? That
in the last part seems more logical. In other words, you have Shiba Mama on your money and so they're coming to take money. That sounds more straightforward.
Yeah, without going through the person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All this stuff about extension of the person, it's like, all right.
It's too metaphysical for you.
Well, I don't understand why should it be, let's say the sign where it's only in his presence, it's an extension of his person, only in his presence. The whole thing sounds so strange.
Because it sounds like you have to satisfy this conditional that ad shata kofe begufo kofe mamono. But if you can't be kofe begufo, because he's hiding somewhere.
Because you always have to have the potential, even though
something like, yeah. And
then you take the money?
Sounds that way.
All right.
Blatsky, what are you?
No, I'm saying it's again to the. You see, Goldstein's point, but there's a question whether it's a Shibali or is it again to the Luxu Batara?
So that's what you have to figure out, right? Meaning, if you think the Bach agrees in principle to that Ramban and Baba Basra, then the point is that even when there's no Shibud, you still have the right to go to his assets because it's an extension of his person, right? That's the virtue of that Ramban and Baba Basra. Even if the Shibud is Lavda Raisa, you have the right to go to the assets because it's an extension of the person, right? Through the Chovas Agavra. But the other possibility is that the Bach disagrees with that idea altogether, and he's holding that there's some sort of Shibud Nechasim directly, right? So to motivate this idea, this brings us to the fourth question we want to raise. And then I'll summarize the questions in a second. So the Gemara in Ksuvis implies, this is the Gemara in Ksuvis in Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, and it's Paskin by the Rambam in Hilchos Nachalos Yud Aleph. So if someone becomes demented or insane, so Misha Nishtata, so they're not a bar das to be chayv mitzvos. The Gemara says, Bezin Yordin Linechasov, the Gemara implies that if someone loses their, is no longer a bardas, so we're still going to collect staka from their rishos. It's Raman Paskin's Nachlos. This is the first source on page 7. Misha nishtata ushen ischarish bezin poskin olav staka mhayarai. So bezin's going to collect staka on his behalf. How could that be? He's not a bar chiyuva. How could they collect staka for him? So the Kesef Mishnah has two suggestions here. One is based off the Ran in Maseches Ksuvis, and that is that the Bezdin just tries to figure out what the person would have wanted. Right? We're doing for him, Ma'ida Amrinan de Nichale Lasos. Or as the Kesef Mishnah quotes, V'afshar lomar shetam rabbeinu mishum de mistama kol adam nichale lemevad staka mimamone. There's a presumption that he would have wanted to have done staka. The second day that the Kesef Mishnah has is vigam kimamono shel adam mishubad laso simenu tztaka, that a person's assets are mishubad for the mitzvah of tztaka. So what does that mean, that the assets are mishubad for tztaka? So let's just review the four questions that we started with very briefly. So the first question we had is just, what's the explanation for those rishonim who think that you don't need a maisa kinyan to give tztaka? Right, just like for Hektish, you don't need a kinyan, you don't need a kinyan to give tzedakah. It's chal b'amir ba'alma. So we want to know what's the explanation for that shita. The second question is, what's the explanation for the Beis Yosef, who held that noder l'tzedakah umeis, the yorshim are chayav l'kayim nidro, even though in general, noder umeis, the yorshim are not chayav l'kayim nidro. Again, I pointed out that the question only exists on the assumption that the Beis Yosef is not assuming amiraso l'tzedakah k'misiraso l'hedyo. The third question is, how can the Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Ches imply that Bezin could be kofa for mitzvah tzedakah if in general, kol mitzvah asay shematan tzcharim b'tzeda ein Bezin shematan muzharin aleh? So how could you have kfiya? And the fourth question is, how could you have a chiv tzedakah on a shota who's not chayiv in mitzvahs at all? Okay? So at least two of these questions are what motivated the Ktsos and Simon Reish Tzad Yusif Katan Gimel to argue on the basis of this Kesef Mishnah and Hilchos Nachalos Yud Aleph, that when it comes to tzedakah, there's a real shibud on a person's nechasim. Right? There's a lien on the assets, and this is supposed to explain some of the problems. A lot of the Achronim think it doesn't end up explaining the problems, and we'll see. I'm going to try to give a yeshuv for the Ktos why it does work. But let's take a look at the Ktos, bottom of page 7, and here's his suggestion. So, midivra kesef mishnah shekasa demamon shalada meshubad lasos menut staka nir desfirle deshayach bit staka din shibud kmo bishar chovos. So there's a lien just like there is for other obligations. Uvi ikar divra kesef mishnah shekasa demamon shalada meshubad lasos menut staka v'nir minei desfirle shibud nichse bit staka kmo bishar chov v'anias daiti kein advarim nechonim de kivan de kaimalan shibuda de oraisa bimilva alpeh. Umikol shekein bimilve haksuva bitora, Im kein lo gara mitzvah stoka mi mitzvah pidgin haben, de shibuda de araisa. V'chein gabi olas yuledes mevin yorsha olasa l'mandamar shibuda de araisa. Look, we know from these cases of olas yuledes shemesa and the case of pidgin haben that the chiyuv, that the Torah, the mitzvah imposes some sort of shibud nechasim. It's a shibud deraisa in virtue of the Torah's creation of the mitzvah. So he says, mitzvah tzlaka shouldn't be any worse than these two mitzvahs, pidgin haben, and that the yarshim are able to bring the olas yoledes after she dies. Okay? He says, this is going to explain, this is after the three dots, v'chein nir mihad kasva rambam bin ishtate, de bezdin yordin l'nechasav l'tzdaka. This is going to explain how the shota could be chayiv, his assets could be chayiv l'tzdaka. Ve'im ein bo mishum shibud nichzi yala mitzvah hu diram yalei, im kein hechi ma'asin es ha-shota l'mitzvah, kiven de potter hu misuka v'lula v'mayis chayiv yoser b'tzdaka, right? The shota, as a gavra, is not a bar chiyuva, just like he's not chayiv in lula v'nsuka, so why should he be chayiv in tzdaka? Must be that his assets have a lien for the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, so this is supposed to answer the shota issue in Hilchos Nachalos and the Gemara in Ksuvos. Okay, that's the first point of the Ksuvos. The second point of the Ksuvos is that this is supposed to answer the kasha of the Rama on the Beis Yosef. Right? Why are the Yorshim chayiv to mekayim the neder of the father who died? So look what he says. The last paragraph on page 7. Okay, there's some sort of shibud on the nechasim. V'lo gara mishar chov. It's not different from any other chov. Look at the next underline. V'kiven de shibuda ramya nechsei. De ha-tora tziva litno. Nishtabdu nechasim. So he thinks this is going to set up the answer for the Beis Yosef. Since there's a lien on the assets, the yorshim are not just being mekayim and neder. The Yarshim are actually fulfilling, there's actually a lien on the person's estate that has to be paid off, and the Yarshim inherit the lien, they're not inheriting the neder. Okay, so this is what the Ktzos thinks is going to answer, the idea of Shiva Nechasim is going to answer the question on the Beis Yosef as well.
When we say the Beis Yosef goes to the Nechasim and the Chov and everything else, is there a shear? How much
do they get? So L'chora would be however much the Beis Yosef determines this person is roy to give. Yeah, so I'll get to that. But it sounds like in principle the Bezdin has the right to evaluate how much you're worth, how much the aniyim need, and like how much you'd be chayev to give to them. Right. Exactly. Sure, you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Gershi, with me? Okay. So the Ksos now wants to answer a third question, the third of the four questions that we began with. And he says, this will also explain why we're kofe on the mitzvah aseh shematan tzchar am bitzeda. Let's look at his formulation. This is the third paragraph on page 8. Elfi masha kasavnu, maishna masha, elfi masha kasavnu de vitztaka ispe shibud nichsi, litin mamono litztaka, ve im kein mamon aniyim gabehu, ki ilu chayiv lohem chov mamish. It's as if the person has a debt owed to the aniyim, im kein zesha anu kofenoso haynu lahachzir laaniyei ola mashachayiv lahem. Now there are different ways of making sense of what the Ktzos is saying here. One way of making sense of it is that he's saying the kfiyah here is not on the mitzvah saseh of tzedaka. The kfiyah here is on the dinei mamonis of repaying debts. It's a choshen mishpat tikka kfiyah, and a person, it's as if he's mechuyiv dinei mamonis to the aniyim. And that's what the Bezdin is being kofe on. As it says in the last line, in the third to last line, uvazev vade afidu matan schar betzedo nami mutal al bezdin lahachzir mashechayev kivan din nechsohi nishtabdu. So the shibud nechasim answer is supposed to explain why it's okay to be kofe on the mitzvah shematan schar betzedo. Not at all like that by Tosfos. But Davka mitzvah say she ain bo mishum shibud nechasi hu damin and matan tzchar b'tzei de'ein bezin shamata kofen alei. So it's not clear what he's saying, but the weakest reading of this ktsos is that he simply means the principle of kol mitzvah shishmatan tzchar b'tzei de'ein bezin shamata musharin alei is limited to chovas agavras mitzvah says. But if you were to have a mitzvah say that also creates a shibud nechasi, that's not begeder, it's not bechla this principle. That's the weakest way of reading the ktsos. There's a much stronger way of reading the Ktzos that he's saying, like I explained earlier, that the reason why Bezin's Kofin is Mitam Choshen Mishpat, Mitam Piro Nachov, and right now this person is holding on to Mamon Aniyim because the Mitzvah Tzedakah created a Chiyuv Klapei the Aniyim. Right? So it's really a payment of debts halacha. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
the last line doesn't sound like, but the first line, the underline sounds like he's saying that, right? V'imkein mamon aniyim gabehu ki'ilu chayv lahem chov mamish. Imkein zeshu anu kofeno sohayin lahachs le ne'ilam ma
she chayv lahem. Yeah, you're just trying to say your first pshat, meaning that because there's a chov, so therefore we're not going to apply the...
Right, but is he saying a chiddush, this is what I want to get into now. Is he saying a chiddush in Hilchos Tzedakah, that the nature of tzedakah is such that the Torah says the people who will have the means are almost in debt to the people who don't have the means, to the aniyim. But that's what the mitzvah of tzedakah establishes. Right? The people who have surplus assets have a chov klapei the aniyim. Right? And then it becomes like a choshen mishpat halacha. Or is he saying that there's something about mitzvah tzedakah, like other mitzvahs, that it creates a shibud nechasim in addition to a chovas aguf? And because there's a shibud nechasim, it avoids all of these problems. Does everybody see the two different ways of reading the ktzos? So a lot of the achronim understand the ktzos as really saying so not the choshen mishpat view. They understand the ktzos as simply saying that some chovos agavra also create chiyuvim on the nechasim. So let me give a few examples of the questions that the achronim ask. And they say that the ktzos's idea of a shibud nechasim doesn't explain the questions that he's attempting to answer. Right, that's why I said, that's why I kept saying the ktzos, this answer is supposed to explain these questions. Because the achronim take the ktzos to task on this. So the Avnei Nezer, for example, in the middle of page 8, attacks the ktzos, and he says, "B'ktzos achoshen hochiach tivitztokah shibud nechasim yesh, deim lokein b'nishtata eich yordin l'nechasav haloeinu bar mitzvos." Right, the ktzos says, I could explain the kfi on the shota because there's shibud nechasim. But Elavadai shibud nechasim ika kmo pidgin haben, the ika shibud nechasim kedisa parakeish bechor, velo garat staka mishar mitzvos, velo hoil klum. Says the Ktzos's answer doesn't do anything. Dafilu din staka kmo pidgin haben, akati eino ela bebarchiyub mitzvos. The only way the shota could be chayiv in his nechasim is if the shota is chayiv begavra. Because the shibud nechasim is a derivative of the shibud haguf, but if there's no shibud haguf meikara, if the shota is not chayiv begavra to give tzedakah, then his nechasim are exempt as well. So how does the ktzos's answer that there's also a shibud nechasim explain the case of shota if you first have to have a shibud haguf? How could there be a shibud nechasim on the shota if he himself is not chayiv at all? And he says, so then the Avnei Nezer rejects the Ktzos and says the answer must be like the Ran, that we're just doing Maida Arminan de Nichale. The reason why the Gemara says you could separate Tzedaka from the Shota is because we assume this is what he would want. But not because there's a Shiba Nechasim. There can't be a Shiba Nechasim without the Chovas Agavra.
Is that true
of
Pidgin Bet also?
Well?
That's true of Pidgin Bet also?
That's what he argues over here.
Okay, he's saying that if someone is Chayim Pidgin Bet, then he dies.
Yeah.
By all,
but he brings this raya from Tosfos and Bechoros that the Chiyuv Pidgin HaBen is Chal Kishehevi Shtei Sharos. But he says, Nitzmach Machmas Mitzvah.
Right, but he's assuming with Nitzmach, it also can't outlive the Mitzvah. Which, where that, no, he's not assuming that?
I think Avnei Nezer may agree. So if you read the Gemara in Ksuvos, it's talking about a case where he was Chayiv when he was a Shafoi. And then he was Nishnata, and they're just collecting from the original Chiyuv. I think he may be Moda.
So
yeah, they're Puskin Olav Nut Staka even after Nishnata. So I think the Avinezer would agree to that case, because it's a lingering. But how could you impose new tzedakah after he's no longer bar chiyuva? And that's the pashut pshat. In the Rambam, it sounds that way also, because the Rambam says, "Misha nishtata or sheneschareish bezdin poskin alav tzedakam hayaroi," which sounds as ab initio lechatchila. They're poskin. They're imposing. So this is one challenge to the Ktzos, and it assumes that the Ktzos is working with this general principle, and the Ktzos implies this himself, that it's an extension of kfiya ala mitzvos, right? It's an extension of kfiya sagavra b'mitzvos. Just some cases of chovas sagavra are so strong that they also impose chiyuvim on the nechasim. So if that's the hesber, then Avi Nezer is right, that if there's no chovas sagavra, it's hard to see how there could ever be a shibu nechasim. Machane Ephraim in Hechot Tzedakah has this kasha separately. You can see it here in the next verse on page 8. V'lchor ikol etmuei degabei, this is the underlined section, ikol etmuei degabei shota kivin dechiyuva de mitzvah leko alei, sharei hu potem yikol ha-mitzvos, mai shibu nechosim shayach kan. He's not asking on the Ktzos, obviously, but he has a similar issue. The Nesivis attacks the Ktzos, the Ktzos's attempt to answer the kasha on the Beis Yosef. And this is the Nesivis right here in Simen Reish Tzadi. He says, what did the Ktzos try to answer for the Beis Yosef? There's a Shiba Nechasim, then the Yarshim are chayiv to make good on the Shiba Nechasim that was chal. They're not trying to fulfill his neder. It's true, no deru meis, ain't a Yarshim chayiv l'kayim nidro. But if there's a Shiba Nechasim, if there's a Shiba Nechasim, then the estate has to satisfy the Shiba Nechasim, and the Yarshim are satisfying that chayiv. The Nesivis said, that doesn't make any sense. It would make sense with tzedakah that's imposed upon him. So, for example, the chiyuv tzedakah to support a relative, or a chiyuv tzedakah for the kupo and the tamchui, I would understand if a person was chayiv in that tzedakah, right, to his karov, or for the kupo and tamchui, then he passes away, that shafta shibud nechasim. But a neder, which is just a promise, which doesn't come from an antecedent chiyuv, how could that create a shibu nechasim? He says, look, this is top of page 9. L'fiyah niyaz daiti nira. Dileka shibu nechasim rak b'makom shedin bezin l'chof wal hatztaka. Geon l'farnes krovo, liten l'kupo, l'tamchui shela'ir, shebo achiyuv malav, shelo mikoach dibor piv. These are bona fide chiyuvim. And this is what other Achronim ask against the Ktzos also. They say, maybe some Chiyuvei Tzedaka could create a Shiba Nechasim, but the case of the Beis Yosef is just a Neder. So how could a person's Neder, which is voluntary, automatically create a Shiba Nechasim? Unless you're assuming like the Deos of Amirasa Litzdaka Kinsirasa Lehejo. But if you're not assuming that, how could it shaft this Shiba Nechasim? So I think Rabbi Shimon Shkop asked this question on the Ktzos as well. So the Ktzos, even though he's coming to. So he has this very important suggestion about the Shiba Nechasim, but the Achronim point out that it doesn't seem to answer all the questions that he thinks he could answer. Now, I want to point out that the Ktzos himself implies that the real mechanism at work here is like, as these Achronim understand, that the Shiba Nechasim is an extension of the Chovas Agavra. I think the Ktzos does imply that interpretation. So let me give a few examples. So just remember in the Ktzos, the Reish Tzadi that we just read, he said it's Logara from Pidgin Aben, and from an Isha Shehefrisha Olasa Omesa, right? So he's putting this in the class of general mitzvos that are chal on the gavra. The Ktzos also in Simen Reish Tzadi Sifkatan Gimel quotes the Hagos Maimonios, who talks about a case where a person is out of town and the Bezin wants to take some of his assets to pay for a melamed for his own kids. All right, so look here on page 9. The second source, Amnam, Medivri Hagos Maimoni, Nira de Mevur, Dafilu Shalobifanov, Yardin Lenachasov, Lakayim Mitzvah Shalo. Right, as a general principle, we could Yorid Lenachasov for Mitzvah Sase. And then he quotes this whole Hagos Maimonios about being Socher Melamdim with his money. to mekayim the mitzvah of v'lemadetem osam as b'neichem. Right, a mitzvah. And he says, and it's the same thing as shor mitzvah say, dekayfin on the kayim, kema oset stuk, oset, oset sukkah, v'chulei. So the Ketzus implies that this is just a general halacha on mitzvah say, that once you're chayah b'gavra, your nechasim could also become obligated on your behalf. The Machane Ephraim has a similar view. Okay, so there's not, the idea again is that there's nothing special about staka. It's a general principle that once you're gavra as a person is chayv misaseh, your nechasim may also be mechuyavim. So the Machane Ephraim in Hilchos Ribis, in the middle of page 9, says, look, a lot of Rishonim hold that ribis ktsusa, even though it's supposed to be given back, the bezin won't be yored linechasav to pay back on your behalf. Does that sound right? This is what the Machane Ephraim said. Ribis ktsusa yotze b'dayanim, kasav arashba v'aran, dehainu lomar de bezin kofen oso lahachziro kadei lakayim mitzvahs devachayachicha. Aval ein bezin yorden linechasav delek alei shiba nechasim. Okay, so there's no shiba nechasim when it comes to paying back, giving back the ribis. Then the Machane Ephraim continues, the next paragraph. Anias daiti nira lechora, the harif, the harambam, the harash, cholkin alze, shekosu gabe mitzvahs nesinat staka, dim eino rotze litain bezdin yardin linechasav, kemavur barambam, like we just read. He says, look, the Rashba and the Ran say that Bezin won't be yored l'nechasav to force you to give back the ribis. That's against the shita of all the Rishonim who hold that Bezin is yored l'nechasav for tzedaka. So he's assuming that there's no difference between the koach Bezin to go into your nechasim for tzedaka than the koach Bezin when it comes to ribis. Right? I mean, the Rishonim who hold Bezin's yored l'nechasav l'inyan tzedaka, like the Rambam, not like the Baal HaMoor and the Rashba, they would agree for ribis, that bezin would be yored l'nechasav as well. That's the Machane Ephraim. The Ktzos himself acknowledges the koach of this kasha in Siman Lamed Tes Sif Katan Aleph. He says, "Oh, the Rambam holds yored l'nechasav, but then why don't we say the same thing for ribis ktzutza?" Okay, so turn to page 10. It's the top source. This is the Ktzos. And you can see in the second paragraph, he asks this kasha. He says, "V'akati kasha lama b'priyas balchov mitzvah v'chein b'tzdaka dehavanami mitzvah yordan l'nechasa b'fanav v'mishum kfiya l'kayim ha-mitzvah but then v'gam ribis k'tzutza kasa b'shulchan aruch demakanos v'ach tzei nafsh l'hachs ribis aval lo nachtin l'nechasa v'amai nechus nami l'nechasa mitaras kfiya. If you could be yordan l'nechasa for tzdaka, you should also be yordan l'nechasa for ribis." Okay, and this is the same Ktzos who created the Mahalach that there's something special about Staka, there's a Shiba Nechasim. Right? But you see, the Ktzos himself is assuming that the Shiba Nechasim for Staka is not really different from any other Kfiya for Mitzvah Sase. What's his answer to this question? His answer is that, it's a special Gzeres HaKasev by Ribis that there's no Shiba Nechasim because V'chei Chaimach. So the Gzeres HaKasev is what separates them. Not anything built into the nature of the mitzvah. Point out also that Reb Shmuel Rozovsky in his Chiddush Mem Bava Basra and Siman Yud Aleph, he also spends a lot of time interpreting the Ktzos as holding that the koach kfiya in staka is a general koach kfiya b'mitzvos. Just look at one formulation that he has here. I mean, you can look at it on your own. If you read through this Reb Shmuel in Siman Yud Aleph, he argues that the Ktzos is working with this principle that some mitzvos are just so binding that not only do they obligate the person, they obligate his property as well. Okay, but it's this idea that the Shiba, he says, it's not even a real Shiba Nechasim. It's just that part of Kfiya on mitzvos is that you could be kofes somebody b'nechseyim. Okay, but this reinforces the idea that the Ktzos is really working with a general principle of kfiya on mitzvos. And the case of staka is one instance of kfiya b'mitzvos. Okay. Any questions before we go weiter? Okay, so this is the Iker part of the Chabura. Not the, we already covered Rova the Chabura, but this is the Iker of what I have to contribute. So I just wanted to suggest that maybe this is what the Ktsos really means, and if it's not what the Ktsos really means, this is a way you could fix, you could reinterpret the Ktsos to answer the kashas that the Achronim have on him. And that is that there really is something special about the mitzvah of tzedakah. And that is that the Torah establishes the mitzvah of tzedakah as a real chov klapei d'aniyim. It's a debt owed to the poorer members of the kehillah. And then it really becomes a choshen mishpat halacha of shar gvias chovos, nothing to do with kviyah and mitzvos. The mechanism through which the chov is created is through the din of tzedakah. But once that mitzvah just creates a chov on everyone's assets that's owed towards the aniyim. So let me give a few rayas to motivate this idea, and then I'll explain how they may answer the relevant questions. So the Ritva on Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav Amud Aleph, the bottom of page 10. So he's working off that Gemara Beficha, and he points out Vasisa Azhar Lebezin Shiyashuch V'Gavit Tzedakah Aminan U'Mashkan Al Tzedakah Afilu Be'Erev Shabbos U'Mashko U'Mashma Afilu B'Toch Beiso V'Lo Netuche Bilvad V'Chomir Mechov De Alma. The mitzvah tzedakah is more chomer than a regular chov, and that the bezin is able to go into his house to take a mashka. Ki hechi de chomer minei lafukei be'erev Shabbos, v'chov da'alma lo kavin azma b'mali shabsa. Okay, so it's chomer mechov da'alma. But then he goes on and he asks Tosis's kasha, what about kol mitzvah se shematam zcharim b'tzeda ein bezin shematam uzharin alei? So after the three dots in the bottom of page 10, he answers v'tir etzor benu, the shiny hacha, the gali beikra, the chiva, sisa atzar lebezin sheyashoch, velo gaminan minala alma, mishum the hacha lav mishum mitzvah de ramia ale bilchud kaifinan. It's not because of the mitzvah de ramia ale, elam pneisha chayiv atzmo unechasav laaniyim, but because his nechasim and himself are meshuba to the aniyim. Sounds from this ritva, perhaps even more strongly than it sounded from the Ktsos, that the mechanism through which we're solving the question of mitzvah se shematam zcharim b'tzeda ein bezin shematam uzharin alei is the choshen mishpat halacha of gvias chovos. Right? Sure, you're masking? The Ritva in Ksuvis has a similar lashon. No, here it's not as strong as the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah. The Ritva also in Ksuvis is addressing this question, Matan Tzcharim B'Tzeda. The second paragraph in the Ritva in Ksuvis, Mem Tesman Beis, here on page 11, he says, Hasam hu b'shar mitzvos kigon kibir av eim v'chiyotzi b'zeh. Aval inyan staka kaifinan mipnei machsoram shel aniyim. Kidichsiv, etc., so here he doesn't have the sharp formulation that it's because of chov and a choshen mishpat halacha, but he is saying that because of what's owed or because the losses of the aniyim, that's what's triggering the kfiya. Okay, it depends what this means, but if you read this in light of the Brit from Rosh Hashanah, you may say that it's because of the chov klape the aniyim that we're enforcing the collection, which is a collection of debts rather than a kfiya on mitzvos. The Aruch HaShulchan maybe has a variation on this formulation. He says, "Lachein b'tzdaka kofin, v'lo kidei sheyekayim ha-mitzvah, it's not b'toras kiyam mitzvos, ela mipnei tzar ha-aniyim, u'memela de mekayim ha-mitzvah gamkein." Maybe I'll come back to that memela mekayim ha-mitzvah gamkein at the end. But the mechanism of kfiya here is not kfiya ala mitzvos, but the choshen mishpat kfiya on ha-piron ha-chov. The Radvaz and Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, also answering this kasha, gives a similar answer. Venirli the shiny mitzvah se shel tzedaka she yesh ba takana la aniyim vaharehu kechov alav vekofin oso lefro achovo veyordan lenechasav kasher osin lemisha mesariv lefro achov asher alav. Implication of that vaz, I think, is also like that ritva in Rosh Hashanah, that the mechanism for the kfiya here is like someone who is the kfiya life that we impose for someone who refuses to pay back his creditors. Right, black. This doesn't sound right, or okay. But and it's not mitam kfiya on mitzvos. Okay. So this sets the groundwork for this havana of tzedakah. Let me try to grasp at a few other rayas to try to show that the mitzvah of tzedakah is construed as a debt owed to the aniyim.
Where would it come from? That the neder creates a shibud?
Oh, so we'll get to the, I mean, the Beis Yosef, Kashin the Beis Yosef.
Yeah, the Ritva said it, but
yeah, so I'll get to it in a second. I'm just trying to motivate the Mahalach first, and then I'll try to tie it into their questions. Okay, and we'll wrap up. So the Machane Ephraim and Huchazichi Matana Simen Ches, the Gilyan Marsha and Yordea Reishmem Ches cites it, has a suggestion that L'chora Tfisas, so if a person refuses to give tzedakah, an Ani should have the right to be tofes his tzedakah from the Balabayas. Right, so he has the right to walk into the Gvir's house and take the tzedakah for himself. Now, of course, he has to prove that the Balabayas didn't give the right amount of tzedakah that he's mechuyev to give, and he has to prove that he himself is entitled to tzedakah. But if he could get over those hurdles, then in principle he has the right to be tofes. Okay, you can see here in the bottom of page 11, Ikal mibay dim ba'ani v'tafas mizash ena rosalite nizacha behem. Right, if the Balabais has his favorite tivasana, yeah. If he could show that he's the first of kin in terms of tzedakah, then he has the right to be tofes. So I thought this would work very nicely if you thought that tzedakah works as a real chov klaped ani. If the ani could demonstrate that he is the, you know, he's the malve, he's the creditor, and he's the first in line, then he should have the right to be tofes. Well,
that's part of the Kesef Nesivus, whether anyone could
yeah.
And I can be kofan mitzvah.
Then maybe it's sufficient. But even if you think that you can't be kofan the mitzvah, say, then this would be a nice, yeah. Hamdi, it doesn't work well with the Machane Ephraim in Hilchos Ribis that we saw earlier, who said, if you hold that kfiya, if you hold Yardin L'Nechasav for tzedakah, you should hold Yardin L'Nechasav for Ribis. Because right, according to this whole Mahalach, there's something special about tzedakah that it's a chov klape
d'aniyim. Maybe it's not special.
All right, so I'm saying that would work against, but I don't know if the Machane Ephraim maybe changed, you know, maybe, I don't know if he was consistent across all his Mahachim, but I don't know. But I thought this would, there is what to say here that it would work nicely if you held that it's mitam chov. Another potential raya to this Mahalach comes from the Rambam and the Tur in their description of the sheer mitzvah tzedakah. This is always the big question. How much is a person mechuyev to give to tzedakah? And there's always discussion. Is Meiser, Doraisa, Chomesh? What's the sheer of Chomesh? But the Pashup Pshat in the Rambam and the Tur is that a person's chiyev tzedakah is really kefit sorecha aniyim. Right? However much the aniyim really need. It happens to be, if you're not wealthy enough to satisfy the needs of the aniyim, then you have an exemption that you're not mechuyev to become poor to help other aniyim. But how much is a person mechuyev to give? The amount that the aniyim really need. So look at the Rambam in Manas Aniyim, Perek Zayin Halach Aleph. Mitzvah seh liten tzedaka la'aniyim, kifi ma sheroi lo'ani, im haisa yad hanosein maseges. Right? The real shear of tzedaka is the amount that the ani needs, assuming you're able to provide it. Rambam in Halacha Gimel. And the Torah, the Lashon, is even clear. Shir nesinasa im yado maseges yitain kefitzo recha aniyim. Right, if he's able to, then the chiyuv is the amount that aniyim need. So this could work nicely with the idea that the mitzvah of tzedakah begins with figuring out how much does aniyim need. Whatever that aniyim needs imposes a burden on the ashirim and the other people in the community to satisfy those needs. Right? It doesn't begin with a chovas agavra, litain, a tenth or a twentieth of a person's assets. No, it begins mamish with however much the aniyim need to satisfy their basic needs. This is fleshed out very nicely by the Aruch HaShulchan here. He says, I don't understand the Rambam, I don't understand the Tur. They talk about tzorech aniyim, they talk about chomesh, they talk about meiser. How does it all work together? And he says this idea that on the assumption that the more advantaged members of the community could satisfy the needs of the aniyim, that's how much their chiyuv tzedakah is. A dechiv tzedakah is the amount that the aniyim need. You can see here in Sif Dalid, he says explicitly, this is on page 13, and in the other direction, he also holds if it's more than a chomesh ma'aser, you have a chiyuv to give if you could afford it. So perhaps another possible support for this idea is the lashon of the tour in Yerideh and Hilchot Tzedakah Siman Resh Mem Zayin. So the tour says, worried about people, someone's going to say, how could the Torah obligate me to sacrifice my own property for the aniyim? So the Torah reminds us, in the second to last source on page 13, V'al yale belibo etzo lomar ich echzar mi mamoni litno la'aniyim, ki yesh lo ledash ein ha-mamon shelo, el pikadon lasus bo ritzon ha-mafgid, v'zeh ritzono sheichalik la'aniyim mimenu. So, I mean, one way of reading this Torah, it's not a decisive proof at all, but one way of reading the Torah is to say that the mitzvah of tzedakah qualifies the kinds of bailus that you have in your nechassim, right? So you think that it's yours. The answer is no, the Ribbono Shel Olam already gave half of it to the aniyim. If the Ribbono Shel Olam imposes the chov towards the aniyim, so it's not yours anymore. It's not the pashut pshat on the Torah. Pashut pshat on the Torah is a person saying, oh, don't think that your property is really your property. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the bala mamon. But you could also say that, maybe, that the reason why it's not yours is because it's like just like you owe money to your creditors. Maybe it depends on milva lehotzah nitna or lav lehotzah nitna. But your value is once you deduct your liabilities. So you have to deduct your liabilities towards the anim here. Only then could you understand which mamon is really yours. Right? So it's not ech echzar mi mamoni litna la'anim. The Torah already imposed the liability towards the anim, so it's no longer considered to be your property. So lefi zeh, so I thought we could perhaps come back. Oh, so I just wanted to. We have in the last page of the Ma'ar Makomos, Lahavdil Ben Hakodesh Lebein Hachol, two Mefarshim, not from our Masorah, but they have a similar interpretation of the Mitzvah of Tzedakah. So the first is from Aquinas in the Summa Theologica, and he says, it's very nicely, according to the natural order instituted by divine providence, meaning according to like the Ribbono Shel Olam's conception of bailus, material goods are provided for the satisfaction of human needs. Therefore, the division and appropriation of property which proceeds from human law must not hinder the satisfaction of a man's necessity from such goods. I mean, there's nothing in bailus created by Bnei Adam that could block a person in need from satisfying his basic needs. Equally, whatever a man has in superabundance is owed of natural right to the poor for their sustenance. Right? So it's like there's a, whatever a person has in superabundance, his excesses belong to the aniyim. And he has a quote from Gratian. And Locke in the Treatise on Government has a similar idea here. He says, as justice gives every man a title to the product of his honest industry and the fair acquisition of his ancestors, so charity gives every man a title to do so much of another's plenty as will keep him from extreme want where he has no means to subsist otherwise. So, I mean, it's not... Well, I believe you don't like the... Well? No, it sounds like he's saying that charity gives man... This is like the Machane Ephraim's tfisa, right? I think the Machane Ephraim predated Lot. Right, he's saying, so it gives every man a title to use another man's plenty as will keep him from extreme want. Right? Too strong formulation? I don't know. But this is like similar, I think this would be similar to the idea of the tzedakah, of if you take this idea of the sheer tzedakah seriously, that what is the sheer mitzvah tzedakah? It's kifit zorecha aniyim, whatever the aniyim need to satisfy their basic needs of necessity. That's the debt, that's the obligation that's imposed on the ashirim to satisfy the mitzvah of tzedakah. And it creates this natural shibud mamon on the other people. I bet you look like you have
There's a difference in the shibud mamon that's the Shevet Adim, and the Oni's Tzvia.
Right.
Nachman Frank doesn't say that the Oni has a Tzvia on the Balabais.
If he could establish.
He has a Shibud Nechosim, but it's not a Shibud Nechosim in favor of an Oni Yadua.
But he says that if the Oni could show that he is standing, right, he's the closest karov in need, then he has the right to tfisa. And the same is if the Ani could prove that the Balabais doesn't want to give tzedakah at all, then the Ani has the right to be tofes. Right, that was Nachman Ephraim in the bottom of page 11. Aval hecha de'ena rotza litein l'shum Ani, ika l'meimar de'mahani tfisa sa Ani. V'hu adinamim zeha Ani she'tafas hu krovo, she'hu kodem l'chol adam. V'lo yachel lomar l'ani acher Ani rotza litein. Right.
That it's not the same as a Shiva. But if you take the first part, what if another Ani will come along and say, share it with me?
What?
The second Ani will come and tell the first Ani.
Yeah, give it to me, right.
You share it. You were Tafis because he doesn't want to take his Hanoi picking his Ani. So you took it, but you have no right to keep it. Share it with me.
Since I don't know, maybe. Right. I don't know, but this is the idea of the Mahalach that I think could develop. So I wanted to, if you take this idea, so I thought we could come back and answer some of the four questions that we began with. So first of all, I think with the case of the Shota, the idea here is that the Torah imposes possibly. Okay, each one of these is a little bit of an added assumption. But the mitzvah of tzedakah doesn't necessarily begin as a chovas agavra. The mitzvah of tzedakah is like a communal welfare tax, where the Torah imposes an obligation on everyone's assets to satisfy the needs of the aniyim in the kohol. And so you might say that in the case of the shota, even though the gavra is not a bar chiyuva, his nechasim could be included in the lien on everyone's assets to satisfy the needs of the aniyim. Right. Once you understand tzedakah as a chov klapei danim, it doesn't have to begin with a chovas agavra. The kfiyah is not mitam kfiyah on mitzvos. It's just a debt that's created by the Torah, and the Torah could impose that debt on assets directly without going through a chovas agavra. That's the chor what you have to say to explain the sugya of nishtata. Hariblowski, look.
One thing.
Okay.
You have to say to explain if you're assuming it's that second reason because of nishtata.
Yeah. And that's what the Ketosis is trying to say, in that he's saying the way we can explain the Shota case is because of the Shiva Nechasim. Okay? So you say that your bypass, tzedakah circumvents the Chovas Agavra altogether, and it's the Torah imposing a lien on a person's estate. It's like a tax. Even if you don't want to pay taxes, the lien is there because it's about how much your estate accrues, etc. That's what triggers the Mechayev. And same thing in a call. When the call evaluates how much each person is chayev to give, they evaluate based off your estate, because tzedakah is a chiv that's chal on the nechasim, not necessarily on the gavra first. And that has to do with the special nature of tzedakah as a chov klapei d'aniyim. The second thing you could explain with this is, of course, the sugya b'basa daf ches, why we're kofin alav. That was the ritva explicitly in Rosh Hashanah. Even though matan mitzvah saseish matan scharim b'tzeda ein bezin shel matan musharin alei, here it's not begeder kfiyah on mitzvos. It's just begeder piro nachov. And of course you could be kofa. That's the ritva did all the work there. Third, I think you could explain here very nicely the first kasha that we started off with. Why do some rishonim hold that you don't need a maisa kinyan for tzedakah? Kamiroso le tzedakah, kamisiroso le hajot. So for hektish, the rishonim and the achronim give the hezber l'ashem ha'aretz u'meloa. But no one says la'aniyim ha'aretz u'meloa. Right? Even the real left liberals don't say la'aniyim ha'aretz u'meloa. So what's the Hezber? So l'chora, you could say, based off of the Nesivis and Simen Shin Mem Dalet and Rashba and Kedushin, they said Piron Achov doesn't need a Kinyan. All you need for Piron Achov is for the Lovet to specify which Nechasim are going to be used for payment. Here's a quote from the Nesivis in the bottom of page 13. Aval k'shehamos biyado, he's talking about Piron Achov, na'ase tekef shel hamalve de lo boi Kinyan le Piron. Rak tekef kishen esratza hamalve b'mashe yichet halove lepiron, ein sarach kinyan chadash b'shas kovayna. So because of the special kind of a shibud that a malveh has on the nichse alove, there's no need for a ma'isa kinyan b'shas p'ruan achov. So l'fi hanal, that tzedakah is like a chiyuv, a milveh, or p'ruan achov towards the aniyim, you can understand why you wouldn't need a ma'isa kinyan in giving tzedakah. And that's what tzedakah is.
I mean, now if your nodes are more than the
text. Oh, so it's okay. So let's, I'm not even at that case yet. Beis Yosef's case. Oh, well, in those cases. Okay, good. So I want to explain. So let me explain that case. Yeah, I think it'll be Bechlal Masayim Mon in this. Okay. So how do we explain the Beis Yosef's, the kash on the Beis Yosef? Remember, the Beis Yosef said that no deru meis, no deru tzaka meis, the yorshim archayav and the kayim nidro. And the Ramah said, "I noder meis in general, the neder dies with the noder, so why should tzedakah be different?" So I thought, if you say that the chiyuv tzedakah is that everyone has a chiyuv to support the aniyim kifi tzarcham, and that's the chov that the Torah imposes as a shibud on people's assets in general. In many cases, a person's exempt from doing that, either because it's more than they could contribute without themselves becoming aniyim, or in most cases. But if a person voluntarily, so it's more than could be imposed on a person bal karcho. But the mechayiv of tzarche aniyim is there, which imposes a chiv on a person to see as a patur that he could say, "Well, I'm not mechayiv to become pater. I'm not mechayiv to become an ani just to help you." But when he's no der litztaka, he's just agreeing to contribute more to that chiv tzedakah that's already chal on him, assuming there are tzarche aniyim. If there are no tzarche aniyim, then you could say that there's nothing for the neder to specify to trigger the shibud nechasim. But the idea here is, if you think that tzedakah begins, like the Rambam says, kifi tzarche aniyim. Right.
Right,
but the chorus shouldn't be talking on aniyim befanav. Right, the question is which aniyim make a claim. So if you want to say it's relative to your kahal, your tzibur, then aniyei ircha impose the. And if there are no aniyei ircha, let's look back at it. I also have to double check. But the point is that the mechayiv is really there. So when you're no there, you're tapping into that chiyuv which is pre-existing. What? So that's what the Rambam and the Aruch HaShulchan were saying. They were saying that the Chumash is not a Shir Midaraisa. The Chiyuv Tzedakah Midaraisa is Kifi Tzarche Aniyim. Elamai, if Tzarche Aniyim is going to put you in debt, then you're not Mechayiv to pay that much. But it doesn't mean that the Mechayiv is non-existent. The Mechayiv is there, just you have an exemption. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is arguing. And that's the virtue of appealing to the Tur. The Tur's Lashon that we saw earlier in Simin Reish Mem Tesh. Shir Nisi Nasa Im Yado Maseges Yitein Kifit Tzorecho Aniyim. Right, so I thought that Lashon implied that the Tzorecho Aniyim is really the Mechayiv. So if Yado Maseges, then you're actually obligated to give that much. If in Yado Maseges, then you have an exemption. So that's how you could explain the case of the Beis Yosef, that since it begins as the achov klape daniim, and that's how much you're mechoyev to give. Usually you have an exemption, but when you're noder and you agree to tap into that previously existing mechayev, then that's going to create the shibud nechasim, which will trickle down to your yarshim as well.
Or you have an exemption because someone else is covering it. There's a certain X amount that they need. I can afford all of it, but there are three other people.
Who could take care of it?
So it's divided up.
Yeah.
And then I'm offering more, then it also would be included in this.
Correct.
Yeah, but that means that chov.
Yeah. I think there's the Lashon in the footnote in the Ketzos here in Reish Tzadi. So he has a quote from... So everyone's trying to answer this question on the Ketzos, meaning... Everyone's trying to answer this, basically the Nesivus' question on the Ketzos. How does the Ketzos' Shibud Nechasim address the Beis Yosef? Why should the Neder create a Shibud Nechasim? And if you look in the footnotes here, he has an answer that's similar to... it's similar to the mahalach that I was trying to suggest. This is what he says here. Dafagav, this is from Chushir Beruvain in Adarim, quoted by Rabbi Dimitrovsky here. He says, Dafagav me etem mitzvah seydit staka lo chivaso Torah biyoser mimai sero chomesh. So it sounds like you're trying to say something that you're like tapping into the chiyuv mitzvah, which is there through your neder, right? So your neder of tzedakah is not b'toras neder; it's b'toras neder triggering the general mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, look here. My mahalach is just trying to make sense of that idea further by saying that if you understand that tzedakah is beginning with the tzarchei aniyim and the chiyuv klapam.
He's only trying to address that one issue. He's not trying to address that.
Right, the general mouth. So, Lysium, so we end up with five different levels of kfiya for tztaka. Well, we have Rishonim who deny that you could be kofa for tztaka altogether. Those are the Balei Tosfos in Ksuvis, that the kfiya is only bedvarim, or a case of Rashaim b'nei Eir Lasi al Kitzasam. We have Rishonim like the Balamor who hold that kfiya for tztaka only works if it's Begavra and he's Omer Rotsani, right? He has to agree to give the tzedakah. On the third level, we have the Havana in the Ketzos, also the Shach, who read the Rambam that Kfiya is Dafka Bifanov. This is the first part of the Ketzos. The Kfiya only works Bifanov. And that's because the Svar of Acha Atakofeya Begufo Atakofeya Bimamono. So the Nechasim are an extension of the Gavra, but only Bifanov. Fourth, we have the Ketzos' own Shita, that the kfiya here works as a din klali in mitzvos, that certain mitzvos create not just a shibud aguf, but also a shibud nechasim. This mahalach had some kashas, like the Avnei Nezer's kasha and the Mesivis' kasha. And then finally, if you take this last mahalach, which is based off the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah and the Radvaz in Hilchos Manas Aniyim, then they're saying the din kfiya b'nechasav is a special halach in Hilchos Tztaka, that the mitzvah of tztaka is understood as a chiyuv, as a chov klapei daniyim. And it's a choshen mishpat, dika gviya min achasav, lefroa to his creditors. Okay, I can.
Very good.